6. We'll read our text. Our text begins in verse number 8. Let's see. We'll back up though. Let's go ahead and begin in verse number 1. We'll just take a running start at it. Okay, the Bible says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Now, what they weren't saying is the ministry or the neglect in the ministration, they weren't saying it was unimportant. It was saying that their priority needed to be the word of God. Amen. The men of God, their priority needed to be the ministry of the word. That's what they're saying. Verse 3. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, note this first name, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timnon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. Now verse 6. "Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." And Stephen, our text begins in verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen." So they came against Stephen, against his message. "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." They could get nowhere with him. "Then they suborned men which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders." My eyes are blurry, I'm sorry. Bear with me here. "And the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." By the way, in verse 13, these false witnesses were saying things about Stephen that weren't true. However, what they were doing is saying some things that Stephen probably did say, but they were twisting his words. Now verse 14. "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." Stephen probably did say something like that. Verse 15. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Father, I pray tonight your blessings, please, upon the message. We need to hear from you, so I pray your touch in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. The title tonight is A Faith-Filled Life Affects the World. And that's what Stephen had. He had a faith-filled life. And I'll tell you, there are things that we experience in opposition, and it brings the worst out in us. I think athletics does that sometimes for people. I remember when I was a kid, when I was younger, and I would play basketball. When I'm playing basketball, it would often bring out an attitude in me that I'm not so proud of. And I have seen it in our young people too, where you get on the basketball court and it draws out of you a spirit that probably shouldn't be there. I remember when I was in junior high, I played on the junior high basketball team, and we had practice at 6 a.m. and I had to walk to practice, which was over 2 miles away from my house. So I got up extra early. I'd walk to practice. I was always the first one there. I'd get there even before coach. I just didn't want to miss, you know. One day I overslept, and when I woke up, practice had already started, and I was at home. I still had 2 miles to go to get there. So I got dressed, I got ready, and I just took off running. I sprinted the whole 2 miles all the way to school, all the way to the gym, and as soon as I got in there, they were sprinting. And so I just picked up, and I just started sprinting along with the other kids, and I was already warmed up at that point. I remember after a practice, I missed a layup, or in practice, I went up for a layup, and I missed. And I was so angry about this missed layup, I actually punched the wall where the pad under the basket was. There's a pad on the wall, so when you go to shoot it, you run into that pad instead of the bricks on the wall. Well, I punched that pad. And I punched it so hard that I broke my knuckle on my pinky, on my right hand. And so I was actually sidelined for a while my knuckle healed. And, you know, it's not even like I have a good story to tell. You know, what happened to your hand? Well, you know, somebody messed with me. No, I got in a fight with a brick wall, and the brick wall won, you know. So that's what sometimes when you get into situations where it's opposing you, it's opposition, it brings stress to you, things aren't going the way you want, what does it do? It stirs you up, right? At times it can bring a kind of anger to us and then cause us to lose our attitude, to lose our cool, and then we respond. And what comes out is what's on the inside. Now, we might not want to admit that part of it, but that's a key part of understanding what is such a blessing about Stephen. It's because when he faced opposition, when he faced that prick and that opposing and violent, you know, coming against of the message that he was delivering, what came out of him was the opposite of what sometimes comes out of us and what came out of me on that day when I missed that layup. So the Christians in the early church are about to be pole vaulted into a season of persecution. And really that it's unprecedented. Even though we see the persecution of Jesus, that he was nailed to the cross and crucified, and then we see a kind of opposition early on in the book of Acts against Peter, and we've already delivered messages about how the Pharisees are coming against Peter, and they're seeking to end the message. In fact, they said, "You stop preaching about Jesus." And remember, Peter said, "I must obey God rather than men." And so the opposition's there, but it's not as violent as it's about to become with Stephen. In fact, look at verse number 1 of chapter 8, and then we'll come right back to our passage. Chapter 8, just go one page over and look at verse 1. And Saul, who was there at the stoning of Stephen, look what it says, was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And so you can go back to chapter 6. There's a great persecution, and what leads the church into this great persecution is the story of Stephen and the stand that he took, the message that he delivered, and what a testimony he had. Look at verse number, in our passage, verse number 8. It says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power." You should circle that in your Bible, or at least mark it. If you're taking notes, that's key. He was full of faith. If you and I are going to have the kind of testimony that Stephen had, then we're going to have this. We're going to have to be filled up with faith. And that faith that filled him is faith that believed the message of God. That's what faith is. Faith is to say, "I believe God." I love that song, "I Believe God." The boys need, we need to write that down. We need to sing that song. I believe God. Because the root of faith is to say, I believe God. It's to say, I trust Him. Now, trust is another step past saying, I believe God. So you say, I've heard from God. Amen? I've heard from God, you say. And then you say, I believe God. And then you say, I trust Him. And because I trust Him, like the song says, I obey Him. And it goes in that sequence. And you can't say that you have faith unless you can say you have trust and you can say that you obey. Because faith without obedience, like James said, is dead. And so God works in us and He leads us and we hear from Him and we believe Him and we trust Him and we obey Him. That's what Stephen had. That's that faith. He was full of that. He was full of belief. He had a knowledge, he had a wisdom, but he knew what God wanted him to do, and he stood on that. Church, we need that. Amen. We need some Christians that know what God wants us to do. We need to have a church filled up with people who have knowledge of God. And that means we read our Bible every day. Amen. That means we're in church when the doors are open and we're able to be here. Why? Because we're going to hear from Him. And He's going to speak to our hearts. And He's going to direct our path. And so then we can build in our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we learn about Him, and we have the knowledge, and we believe Him. We trust Him, and we obey Him. We need to have a church that has that. Why? Because we can't have a church of faith unless we have a church that's developing in our knowledge, in our understanding of what God says. And so Stephen was full of faith. Then it says this, he was full of power. He was full of faith and power. That word power is the Greek word dynamis, where we get our English word dynamite. It's explosive power. And by the way, it's a result of that faith. That power is not us manufacturing it. It's not us mustering it up. It's not us doing something, you know, in ourselves to produce a kind of explosive power for God. No, it's just, you know what He wants you to do. You trust Him and you obey Him and He works in us and He produces that explosive power, His power working through us. I think that I'm probably in a group of people who want to have that kind of power of God working through us, where, you know, we're not afraid to stand for Him. We're not afraid of consequences. Why? Because we know what God wants us to do. I'm not afraid of what somebody might say, because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm not afraid of what the world thinks about this, because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. Somebody who has that kind of power has a faith that's underneath that. And faith isn't something that we muster up in ourselves. We hear from God, and we trust Him, and we obey Him. That's what faith is. Stephen had that. It's not like Stephen had something that we can't have. Stephen trusted God. He knew the Lord. He trusted the Lord, and he stood there. And it caused him to stand out. And by the way, the world didn't like it. But that's his testimony. Look at verse number 9. It says, there arose up this group from the synagogue, certain of the synagogue. And it was a group of educated people. It was a group of, you know, people who were, you know, not interested in embracing the message of Jesus. And look at the last part of verse 9. It says, they were disputing with Stephen. The word disputing means they're interrogating and debating with him. They're arguing with him. You know, I don't like arguing. Raise your hand if you like arguing. You like to do that. Okay. Yeah, you need to raise your hand, Ethan. That was Ethan, by the way. So, okay. Yeah. I don't like to debate with people. I mean, you say, well, you're the pastor. Yeah, I mean, I debate with people, but I don't like to. I don't like to argue. I mean, I'm going to stand where God stands. Best I know what God says and what He teaches, I'm going to stand there. And I'm not going to apologize about it. I mean, we believe this, and it's not like we're anchoring our faith on something that's like shifting sand. We can have confidence in God, and we should have confidence in God. And to have that confidence, you need to know what God says. You can't have confidence if you don't know. And so we study. We're in our place. We're in our Bible. We're learning the scriptures. And God is building that faith in us. And along with that faith, He's giving us confidence. You know, you could put this on a piece of paper. You don't have to, but you could. And where you have the word faith, and as your faith grows, you can put an equal sign beside it. And on the other side of that equal sign, you can put confidence. Or maybe an arrow, because faith will lead you to confidence. Not faith in yourself, Amen. But faith in Him. Amen. We have confidence because we believe Him. We stand because we know we're standing on the right ground, the right foundation. And that's Stephen. And so it's no wonder, verse number 10, it says, they were not able to resist His wisdom and the Spirit by which He spake. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, His wisdom is solid wisdom because it's not His wisdom, it's the wisdom of God. By the way, Jesus said that. He said in Matthew chapter number 7, the man who hears these sayings of mine and doeth him, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. And so wisdom comes from knowing what God says and doing it. Stephen would have had that wisdom. He would have known what God says, and his confidence was there, and he stood there, and they could not resist it because the wisdom isn't something that he manufactured. Amen. He's standing on something that's sure. So how can you resist it if it's God? You can't. It cannot be resisted. And then, but here's something that's interesting about this, and I think sometimes we miss when we cursory read our Bible. Look what it says in verse 10. It says they could not resist, were not able to resist the wisdom, but then it says this, and the Spirit by which He spake. So it's not just that He knew all the answers. I've talked to some people who know all the answers, okay? Or at least they think they do. But that doesn't mean they have the right spirit. You see? So it's not just that we have a kind of knowledge that puffs us up. I read my Bible every day. Well, that's good. But what about your spirit? Because you need to have the right spirit in accord with the wisdom or the knowledge that we have. And so Stephen here, he had the wisdom of God. He knew the Lord in that way. And the implication is he had a personal walk with God. I mean, it was personal. Why? Because he had the right spirit. He had a spirit that reflected, a confidence, but not an arrogance. We need that. You and I need that. So they could not win. They couldn't win. They were trying to, it sounds to me, they were trying to stir him up. I mean, that's what they do. Verse 12 says they stirred up the people. So they're trying to stir Stephen, but they couldn't stir him. You know, my assistant in Nebraska, Brother Chad, he amazed me. The Lord, I'm going to talk about this in the application tonight. And there's times whenever I lose my cool and I have to apologize, you know. I know that never happens to any of us here, but sometimes I'll lose my cool. And then I'll come back and I'll say, you know what, I lost my cool right there. I'm really sorry about that. I can count like less than all the 7 years I worked with Brother Chad that he lost his cool. And there's times I'm trying to stir him up. I'm like, I'm throwing stuff his way. I'm just trying to stir the pot a little bit. And I just can't get it. That's how Stephen was. I mean, he has that spirit. He's filled with God. He's filled with faith and power, and his confidence is there. And so the Jews who hate him and they hate his message, and they're wanting to, prove him to be at fault and error, here's what they did. They did the only thing they could do, and that's verse number 11. It says they suborned men. Now, what does that mean? It means they hired witnesses. They hired people to come against Stephen with stories of opposition. And these stories would either be lies or twists on the truth. It says in verse 13 that they were actually false witnesses. And so it doesn't matter to me how you do it, but we need to come against Stephen, and we need to bring not only opposition, but we need to bring a kind of legitimate or at least corporately speaking, we need to bring a legitimate indictment against him. We need to judge him. You know, this sounds eerily similar to what happened to Jesus, doesn't it?
Amen.
So he's standing for the truth. He's standing in confidence in the wisdom of God, full of faith, meaning obedience to the Lord, doing and saying just what God wants him to do. And then this opposition comes against him, hires false witnesses to lie, to do whatever it take, even all the way to murder, which we'll find out is what they actually do. But do you know what they see in Stephen through all of that? This is what amazes me about this. Look at verse 15. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, and here's what they saw. His face as it had been the face of an angel. So that's what the world saw when they looked at Stephen. That's what the opposers of the gospel saw when they looked at Stephen. They saw a man whose countenance, and this is what they said, the face of an angel. That's how they're describing him. Listen to this. This is the effect that Stephen had on the world. They're identifying him in his countenance as it had been the face of an angel. Now, I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know physically what that would have looked like. Like if he actually shone with the glory of God, like Moses in the Old Testament. One writer said that his face did shine with God's glory. I will say this, if you're not full of faith, when you face these kind of trying times, that's not the kind of face the world's going to see. I think we can say that with confidence. I think that opposition sometimes draws the worst out of us. And it shows not that we have faith, but that we're not living in faith. In his great book, Changed Into His Image, Jim Berg writes about the tea bag, and he says that the hot water activates the tea in the bag. So you have the pot and you put the tea bag in there, you pour the hot water on the tea bag, and the hot water activates the tea in the bag. It unleashes taste into the water around it. The hot water did not create the taste. Get this. The hot water did not create the taste. It revealed, it drew out what was already in the tea bag.
All right.
In this life, our heart is the tea bag.
All right.
And the pressures that we face in this life, those pressures are like the hot water. And what they will do is they will draw the contents of your heart out. So what's on the inside when you face those times of pressure, that's what's going to come out of you. And sometimes we go through those hard things, and what comes out of us we're not proud of, but instead of addressing the real heart of the issue, the contents of the tea bag, we like to blame the hot water and say, you know what? It's the hot water. This is what caused me to be this way. But if we're honest, the hot water simply revealed the contents of what's on the inside. And what needs to change is not the hot water, but the contents of the tea bag needs to change. I mentioned earlier, and I have many times been ashamed of the times that I've lost my cool with my boys and in my family. And what I think that we would all agree that we all have our seasons and times. You know? And maybe it shows itself in different ways. In a hot water situation, we might want to say, well, if those boys, or if this financial situation, or if my health, or if my spouse, you know, or if my job situation, we have all of these hot water pressure situations in our life. And we like to say that the reason why I'm responding and behaving and acting this way is because of those situations, but we've missed it. Because what all of those situations have done is simply drawn out of us what's already in us. And what needs to change is not our circumstances. What needs to change is our heart. And what we need is what Stephen has. And we can clearly see it. That when Stephen is in heated debate, and he is in the midst of the same people who crucified our Lord, and their only mission here is to stir him, to cause him to lose his testimony and his cool, and to give them a reason to actually murder him, or to persecute him, or to cause him to cease. But you know what they found when they continued? When they locked down the pressure more and more, and they squeezed more and more, do you know what they found? Is the brighter the light became. So that the stronger they pressured him, and the more they squeezed on him, the more they said, Stephen looks in his countenance as an angel. Why did he look like that? Is because that was what was in there. And when the pressure came, it just drew out of him what was in there. Now, Stephen is in a special case. All of us here can have a walk with God that will produce that kind of faith in us, or that kind of countenance in us. But it boils down to us having a faith, having a walk with God that produces full faith in our life. Meaning, God works in our hearts and He transforms our heart. He speaks to us and He guides us and He transforms us from the inside out. You know, here's what that means. Here's what it looks like in our life. It means God is not interested in what you look like on the outside. Amen. He's interested in what's happening on the inside. Amen. And so tonight, and we've said this before, I think in our Hosea messages a few times, that God knows the contents of our heart. He knows what's in there. And we might put on a display for the people around us, but God knows the real us. Amen. And that's where He speaks to you. He'll speak to you right where you are. He'll speak to you about the contents of your heart. He'll say, you need to get your heart right with me. Your heart isn't where it needs to be. And you know why you're having so much trouble with your attitude as it relates to your hot water situations? It's because your heart isn't right. And he speaks to us. The work of the Holy Spirit, we talked about this morning, He's drawing you to Him. And what's he doing? He's leading you to faith. He's trying to produce faith in you. Now, Stephen was full of faith. If we're going to have the countenance that shines like an angel, then we're going to need to be full of faith. There's no other way to do it. You can't manufacture it. It's not a certain kind of soap that you use. It's not makeup. It's not the way you dress. Like my new jacket, by the way. It's not the way we dress. It's not how we look. God sees past all of that. He knows what's happening on the inside. And He says, if you want to have that kind of a countenance that addresses your real attitude, then it's going to have to start in the heart. Well, where? How? Faith. Now, what is faith? Because it's so vague, I think, sometimes. It's when He's working in you, and you know He's working in you. He's speaking to you. And you know what He wants you to do. And now, what do? We trust Him. I believe God. He's speaking to me. I believe Him. I trust Him. I obey Him. And what you do every time you take a step in obedience to God because you know what He's doing in you, that's a step of faith. What if you say, God, if you talk to me, I'll do it? What if you do that? Brother Cain, you ever given your wife a blank check? That's scary, right? Every day, right? Amen. There's not anything on the other side, like in the account, but anyway, no. So What if we said that to God? God, I'm just going to give you a blank check. Here's what I mean by that, Lord. I'm just going to do whatever you want me to do. Now I might not know just what you want me to do, but when you make it clear, I'll do this. I believe you. I trust you. I'm going to obey you. What if you just said, I'm always going to do that? Now you're understanding how Stephen was living. Because it says he was full of faith. It means that he was hearing from God. He would have known what God wants him to do and where God wanted him to stand. He trusted God and he obeyed God. And he was filled with faith. And it showed in his countenance. Because when the hot water came, the sweet spirit came out. And he showed as it was the face of an angel. God can do that in us. But what you have to do tonight is you have to get your spiritual checkbook out. And you have to decide that you're going to give him a blank check and you're going to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And now you'll know what it means to be full of faith. Now, why would we do that? Because we believe him. Amen. And we trust him. That's why we would do that. So tonight, let's let God work that in us. A faith that is that way. You know what it does? That kind of faith-filled life, that's the kind of life that affects the world. And you go into this world and you'll shine with the glory of the Lord. You'll shine with his glory when you live a faith-filled life that way. You don't have to even try to pretend to make it happen. He just does it through you. Let's let God work in us tonight. You might have been struggling to surrender something to him or to obey him in some way, to trust him in some way. Let me encourage you to seek him tonight, to let him help you and guide you in his path. Father, tonight we thank you for the word. We thank you.